here. So what I just want to recap a little bit what we were talking about last time. So let's think first in terms of space. So if we have, so here is a two-dimensional space. The blackboard is the two-dimensional space. And Alice comes along and she chooses a coordinate system to describe points in that space. So this is her x-axis and this is her y-axis. And if there's some point in this space, she will say, oh, you know what? The x-coordinate of that point is this, and the y-coordinate of that point is this. And given those x and y-coordinates of that point, how would she figure out the distance from there to there, the length of that line? Pythagoras. She would say this squared plus this squared square root gives me that, right? Okay. Now Bob comes along and says, Alice, I don't like your choice of axes. I would rather choose this, these axes here. So this is Bob's y-axis. And whatever tilt he puts in here, 20 degrees or whatever, his x-axis must be tilted the same amount, 20 degrees here, or whatever it is. And so that's the x-axis according to Bob. Okay, now Bob looks at this same point in space here and says, the coordinates, the my x and y coordinates for that point differ from yours, Alice. My x coordinate is this one. I drop a perpendicular down like that, and that's my x coordinate. And I drop a perpendicular this way, and this is my y coordinate. Okay, so how does Bob determine the length of the line from there to there? Same thing. He takes the square of this plus the square of that, square root, and he gets that. Will he get the same answer? Yeah, he'll get the same answer. Okay, so what changes is the x and y components of that point. But what doesn't change is the physical geometrical distance from there to there. Okay, now let's, so this is Euclidean geometry. Okay, now if we look at Minkowskian geometry, if instead of space, space, we have space, time, so if the blackboard represents space-time, then we have Alice's, if Alice is at rest, her world line will be vertical like this. So this is CT according to Alice, and this is Alice's spatial axis. And if there's some event in her space-time, so this is an event, it happened at some location in space, say over here, and it happened at some time according to her watch, maybe up here. Okay, so there's the event right there. Okay, and so, and there's a similar event, say, over here. So there's two events. This event here, which happens at x equals 0 in her space and t equals 0 on her watch. So that's over here. And then there's an event which happens later in time at a different location along her x-axis. That's that event. Okay, so we've got these two events over here. And as we said, what we can do is we can always find this event, we can always find a person drifting through Alice's space such that that event occurs at the same location. Okay, and that's Bob. So this is CT Bob. So that event occurs right at his location. But between those two events, of course, time elapses for him. Okay, and so to figure out how much time elapses for him, time is this physical distance in this, in Alice's space-time. What do we do? Right, so we take the square of Alice's time, subtract the square of Alice's space distance, and take the square root, and that gives us that time, that physical time, according to Bob's watch. How many seconds have elapsed on Bob's watch? Okay, and now let's suppose that, okay, and then also we said, okay, well, where's Bob's x-axis? And we talked about this, and Bob's x-axis is up like this. Okay, so whatever tilt is here due to his velocity, okay, when he's moving very slowly, the tilt is small. When he's moving faster, the tilt is more. Okay, and this is 45 degrees. Okay, and his time, whatever tilt his time axis has, it's the same tilt for his spatial axis. So this is X Bob. Okay. And as Bob approaches the speed of light, you'll notice that these guys scrunch down like this, and they both become asymptotically parallel to that speed of light. Okay, now suppose there's some other event over here happening, say over there. Okay, and we say, well, what is the amount of, if we find a third observer, say Cleopatra. Okay, so now we've got this event and this event. Okay, that's this one and this one. We find Cleopatra, a velocity for Cleopatra to move at such that those two events happen at her location. And we ask the same kind of question: how much time has elapsed on Cleo's clock between those two events? There are two ways we can do this. We can use, according to Alice, what she would do is she would take this time squared minus this distance. This squared minus this squared square root will give the time on on Cleo's clock. Okay. And for Bob, what we would do is this sort of thing. We would draw lines parallel to Bob's time axis. We're making a grid here. We'll draw lines parallel to Bob's time axis, and we will draw lines parallel to Bob's x-axis. So the diagram's getting a bit messy, but okay, so instead of having a rectangular grid, it's a grid that's scrunched down a little bit like that. Okay, and so what he would do is say, according to me, according to my time and my space, I would say that this event over here occurs, I would just follow this line back to here and say, this is the amount of time we're talking about. And I would follow this guy back to my space axis, and I would say, this is the amount of space involved. And so Bob would say, I would take this time squared minus this space squared square root, and I would conclude that that's the amount of time elapsed on Cleo's clock. Okay? So will he get the same amount of time as Alice did? Yes. And that's the whole point. Okay? And so time dilation and, as we'll see shortly, length contraction and so on, those are precisely the right amounts of contraction for time and space so that Bob will get exactly the same answer as Alice gets. When she takes this squared minus this squared, it'll be the same as this squared minus that squared. Okay, and that requires time dilation and length contraction. And at the end of the day, what it means is there's a geometry. Okay, so between any two points in space-time, different people can make measurements of the length of that path. And the length of that path is precisely just physically the time elapsed on a clock. Okay? Just as physical as laying down a meter stick here and saying, yes, I've got a physical meter stick connecting those two. You know, my x and y components might change, but when I go x squared plus y squared square root, I get the same thing. The physical length of that physical meter stick, the physical time elapsed on that physical clock that Cleo is carrying with her. Okay, so, so space-time has geometry. This is a hugely important lesson. And this was, as I said, invented by Minkowski. And Minkowski was a teacher of Einstein's, a professor of Einstein's. And he took Einstein's physics and recognized that there's this mathematics behind it. Initially, Einstein thought, oh, poo-poo, that's just whatever, some math, whatever, who cares. But then later on, he started to dawn on him that, there might be something really deep in that, the fact that space-time has a geometry. You know, what if that geometry could be warped, you know, and then hop, skip, and a jump later, approximately 10 years later, you know, he figures out that gravity is, in fact, related to a curvature of space-time. All right, so blah, blah, blah. Let's actually take a look at this picture here. So let me rotate this a little bit. How do I rotate this? Oh, there we go. Okay. So let me just shut off a couple of these lights here. Okay, is this one on? It is on. Okay. Make it brighter. All right. So this is a interesting picture here. Okay, so I'm going to try to talk a little bit about this. So, so what we see here is Alice. Alice, we're taking a point of view that Alice is at rest. This is her world line, and this is her spatial axis. Okay, and along her spatial axis, this is Alice's spatial axis here. And along her spatial axis, she has a bunch of lights that are mounted. Okay, and they're different colored lights. So at t equals 0, this is t equals 0, t equals 1, t equals 2, and so on. So as time goes on, her lights are going to be flashing different colors. Okay, so at t equals 0, her lights along this along her x-axis are first blue. This light is blue, this light is green, red, blue, and so on, like that. Okay, and then that's at t equals 0. At t equals 1 second, the lights all change color. Okay, this one changes from blue to red, this one from green to blue, and so on and so forth. And at t equals 2 seconds, it changes color again. Changes color. So as far as Alice is concerned, what she has is this stick with a bunch of lights on it, and these lights are flashing, okay, all different colors. Okay, and that color pattern, you can see, is moving to the right. Okay, so this one starts out blue, then the blue moves over there, then the blue moves over there, and so on. So what she'll see is this pattern of three colors moving down her meter stick, repeating all the time, that pattern. Okay, now let's look at what Bob sees. Okay, so Bob is now moving with respect to Alice. So he's in motion in Alice's space. Okay, and so this rod here is at rest, and Bob is moving with respect to that rod. Okay, let's see. So what does he see? Well, there's his time axis like this. And according to what we just talked about, his spatial axis tilts up like this. Okay, so his spatial axis is like this. Okay, so at t equals 0 in Bob's reference frame, that's his x-axis. At t equals 1 in Bob's reference frame, that's his x-axis, and so on. So his x-axis is just moving upwards like this as time goes on for Bob. Okay? So at t equals 0 for Bob, what does he see? This is his x-axis. He sees all of the lights along that rod to all be blue. Okay? And then 1 second later, according to him, he sees all of those lights to be red, and then all of them to be green, so on.
Oh,
I see. Okay. So what's generally meant when you draw a reference frame like this, X Alice and time according to Alice, what you really mean is this. This is sort of an unwritten thing, which maybe should be stated clearly. Is so here's Alice, sure. TT Alice, and here is her x-axis, X according to Alice. And what we imagine is that Alice's space is filled with a whole bunch of Alices. Okay, so there's Alice 1, Alice 2, and so on. So at this location, right next to her, there's another Alice, CTA prime. Then there's another Alice at rest with respect to her CTA double prime, and so on. Okay, so there's a million Alices lying all along her x-axis, all at rest with respect to the original Alice. And all of these Alices have clocks. Okay, and all of these clocks are synchronized with respect to this clock. Okay, so we have two people here standing next to each other. We run that clock synchronization procedure. Okay, so this is Alice's clock. That's our starting point. And then we say, well, if that represents 1 second for Alice, that'll be 1 second for Alice prime. And then we synchronize them so that when Alice's clock reads 0, Alice prime's clock reads 0, and so on. And then we continue the synchronization of the next one, next one, next one. And the entire frame is filled with Alices with clocks. And then if you want to observe an event, say over there, there's an event which happens in Alice's space at this location and in Alice's time at that time over there, what you're doing is you're not really referring to this Alice. What you're referring to is this Alice, CTA 10 prime. Okay, you're looking at her clock. So that event happens at her location. She looks at her clock and says that time is 5. That's the time for all of the clocks, 5, including that original Alice. And Alice, this Alice says, well, I am 7 meters from that Alice, and so I know that The spatial position is 7, the time is 5. So in this picture here, we've got a bunch of Alices along here.
Okay. What about Bob there?
And Bob, same thing. There's a bunch of Bobs.
Ah.
Yeah. So when we say this, we say all the Bobs see blue lights. What we mean is in Bob's frame, so Bob is moving like this, right? Or Bob is moving like this. He's got a bunch of Bobs next to him. And all of those clocks have been synchronized according to that synchronization procedure. Okay, and so each one of those Bobs is sitting right on top of a light. They've got a light right in front of his face. And then when all the Bobs' clocks read 1, they all see blue. When all the Bobs' clocks reads 2, they all see green, and so on. So we're not worried about the fact that here's a Bob and he's looking at a light over there, and how much time does it take for light to get from there to there, and all that kind of stuff. The light is right in front of his face. Okay, so and all of this has to do with relativity of simultaneity. Okay, so for this Bob and that Bob, these blue lights turning on happen simultaneously. They happen at the same time. When this Bob's clock reads 5, this Bob's clock reads 5, and both of those lights come on at the same time for them. If there was someone standing halfway in between, they could send a light signal from there to there and say, yes, those two lights turned on at the same time. Like, it's simultaneous in that sense, in that physically common sense sort of way. Okay. So these two events here, those two blue lights suddenly turning on, are simultaneous for the Bobs, for those two Bobs. But of course, they're not simultaneous for Alice. Alice says, no, no, no. This blue light turned on first, then later, this blue light turned on. So it's simultaneous for the Bob, but Alice sees this one first, then this one. Okay, so this relativity of simultaneity is at the heart of our current understanding of what space-time is. All right, so go away. Okay. So let's look at something called length contraction. Okay, so most of you, how many have not heard of this phenomenon called length contraction? Okay, just a couple of you. Okay, so the fact is, it's just sort of in a nutshell, what it means is if I have this, if this is, say, 1 meter, this is a meter stick, say, and I measure the length of this thing, I say, oh yes, this is 1 meter. Okay. If this meter stick is moving like this, and I try to measure the length, what I will find is that the length is shorter. Okay. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Let's try to understand that. Okay, so length contraction is closely related to time dilation. And I want to emphasize that length contraction is just as physically real a phenomenon as is time dilation. Okay, so this time dilation here, right? Suppose this is 7 seconds on Alice's clock. So when 7 seconds elapses for Alice, maybe only 5 seconds elapses for Cleopatra here. That's a physically real time dilation effect. Length contraction is physically real like that as well. So by length contraction, so what do we need to do? Well, what we need to do is we need to take a physical stick like this, and we need to show that physical stick moving in somebody's space. Okay, so how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to treat it exactly the same as draw the same diagram we did yesterday, which showed Alice and Alice Prime at rest, and Bob Prime standing on a platform drifting through their space. Okay, so we'll draw exactly the same thing, and we will measure the length of the Bob Prime platform, okay, from Alice and Alice Prime's point of view. Okay, so the picture would look something like this. Okay, so there's Alice and Alice Prime. Okay, so just in terms of space, what it looks like is this. So here's Alice and Alice Prime. We're taking the point of view that they are at rest. And here is Bob and Bob Prime starting to the left of Alice and Alice Prime and drifting across her space like this. And Alice and Alice Prime are going to measure the width of that platform, of Bob and Bob Klein's platform, as it drifts by like this. Okay? So let me just sketch it out first, and then I'll talk about it. So it looks something like that. Here's the Bob and Bob prime. That's Bob's world line. So that's the picture that we want to sketch there. Okay, so what is this? Well, so here we've got Bob. Bob is at the left end of the platform, and this is Bob's world line. So he's drifting to the right in the Alice and Alice prime space with some velocity. Okay, and the platform, if we catch up with Bob and Bob prime, the platform lies along Bob's x-axis. Okay, so it lies in this direction. This is x according to Bob. It's this thing. And Bob prime is located some distance away at the other end of the platform along Bob's x-axis. Okay, so if we take, say this guy over here, this is Bob's time axis over here, going up like that. That's x time according to Bob, or c times time according to Bob. And this is Bob's x-axis. That's x according to Bob. Is the sequence of time according to Bob. Okay, so that's Bob's time axis, that's Bob's x-axis. The tilt of Bob's time axis is the same as the tilt of Bob's x-axis. The platform that which stretches from Bob over to Bob prime lies along Bob's x-axis. Okay, so there it is. And this is, say, at a time t Bob equals t Bob prime equals, say, 0. Okay. And then as time goes on, of course, for Bob and Bob prime, time goes on. Okay, so later on, Bob and Bob prime have drifted to the right a little bit. Okay, so this rod has drifted to the right a little bit, and it's later in time. Okay, so this is now Bob's x-axis at a later time. And let's say that this is at time t Bob equals t Bob prime equals, say, 1 second. Okay, and similarly here, this is t Bob equal t Bob prime, 2 seconds. Okay, so as time goes on for the Bobs, 1 second, 0, 1, 2, 3 seconds, that rod is drifting to the right. And this is the way Alice and Alice prime would see the Bob and Bob prime and the rod connecting the two of them. Okay? So we got that. And now let's suppose that that Alice and Alice prime would like to measure the width of this platform as they see it, as they see this moving platform in their space. Okay, so how would they do that? How would you measure the width of something that's whipping by you like this? How would you measure the width physically?
Oh, just an idea. You have a watch.
Yep.
And you know in advance, so you know the speed.
Yep.
So once the tip goes right at you, you start the watch.
Yep.
And then when you wait past, wait till the end comes, you stop the watch.
Yep.
And you do the.
That's right. So you could take any say this point over here, and you could watch how fast that point is moving. First of all, so you could let it pass by 1 meter. And time how long it takes, so now you know the velocity. And then you say, oh, okay, now let's time how long it takes to get from here to here. You know how fast it's going, and so you can figure out and the time it took to get from there to there. And so, yeah, so you can do it that way. But that way is a little bit abstract. It involves like clocks and all that kind of stuff. I want to have a really physical, super concrete way of measuring. Sorry? Yeah, exactly. Whip out the meter stick. Okay. So how would you measure the length of this thing if it were just at rest? You would go like this. And then you would go over to, here's a So here's a big stick like this, graduated stick, okay, telling you length. So I would go like this, oomph, and then I would walk over here, and I would go oomph, and I would count how many tick marks there are on there. And that would be the distance, right? So if I can fit this rod between, or this stick or whatever, between my two hands like this, this is the physical size, length, that this thing occupies in my space, right? Are we happy with that definition of how much size something occupies in our space? Okay, so now we have this thing that's moving. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit tricky. Can I get a volunteer? Okay, so you're going to be Bob and Bob Prime, and this is your platform, and I'm going to be Alice. This is Alice, and this is Alice Prime, and as that, okay, so that Bob and Bob Prime are drifting through the Alice and Alice Prime space, and here's their platform coming at them. Okay, so if you can just watch the loop. Okay. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. Okay. That's all. Thank you. Hey. Okay. So the thing about it is this. The stick is moving, okay? But even though the stick is moving, it should be clear that what I could do is put my hands and momentarily touch both ends of that platform. Okay? And then how far my hands are apart is going to tell me physically how much space that platform occupies in my space. So it whips by like this. I momentarily touch both ends simultaneously. Okay? I'm not going to go like this and then like this or something. I'm going to go like this. Boom. At that split second of time, how much space is it occupying? Simultaneous, like this. And then I go over here and I measure the length between my two hands. Okay? So that's the experiment. Okay, so in this picture here, how do we represent that in this picture? Like, where's that happening? First of all, these two, so there are two events involved here. The events involved are basically my left hand touching the left end of the platform and my right hand touching the right end of the platform. Those two events are simultaneous for me. Okay, and they are two events. Okay, it's like this. Okay, one happens at this location in space at a certain time, and the other happens at this location in space at the same time. It's like that. So I need to put two events on this space-time diagram. What two events do you think I would like to put on here? Which two events seem relevant here? Maybe that's part of the sky. Yeah?
This horizontal line?
Yeah.
Just where the Bob line crosses the
Alice
line, and the Bob Prime
crosses the right. Okay, so Bob is at the left end of the platform, Bob Prime is at the right. Okay, so this is the left end of the platform moving through Alice's space. At this instant over here, the left end of the platform is at Alice's location. Okay, so that's this. This is Bob Prime, the right end of the platform, drifting through the Alice Prime space. At this moment, Bob Prime crosses Alice Prime's path. So the right end of the platform is right at Alice Prime's location. Okay, so what we've done is we've adjusted the distance between Alice and Alice Prime such that it's the same as doing this. Okay, touching both ends of the rod of the platform simultaneously. Okay? So Alice and Alice Prime consider that event and that event to be simultaneous. And so the distance between their hands is this distance. Okay? Right. Do you think that, suppose that this platform is 1 meter long. Do you think that this distance between Alice and Alice Prime, or between my two hands when I touched both ends simultaneously, is less or greater than 1 meter? Less or greater. So how many say greater? Maybe how many say less?
Yeah.
Okay. So the majority is right. Physics is not an opinion poll, but Turns out that the majority is right in this case.